Chapter 5. Reception, Staging, Onward Movement, and Integration. The movement phase discussed in Chapter 4 ends at the pod. This chapter discusses the fourth and final phase of the deployment process that begins at the pod with RSOI. The process of RSOI is designed to rapidly combine and integrate arriving elements of personnel, equipment, and materiel into combat power that can be employed by the GCC. Furthermore, RSOI is a key activity that supports Set the Theater. Purpose of Reception, Staging, Onward Movement, and Integration. The purpose of RSOI is to build the combat power necessary to support the GCC's concept of operation. Assessment of combat power begins with established standards for readiness and is based on unit capability rather than simple tallies of vehicles and weapon systems on hand. Readiness and reporting are inherently operational matters handled through operations channels. Force closure occurs when the supported commander determines that the deploying force has completed movement to the specified operational area with sufficient personnel and equipment resources and is ready to conduct its assigned mission. Force closure requires well-defined criteria by which unit commanders can measure their readiness. Force closure should not be confused with transportation closure of a unit. Transportation closure is the actual arrival date of a specified movement requirement at pod and does not include further actions required to bring the unit to combat power. Maintenance on vehicles is an example of further action which may be required. All military operations have some element of risk. To build combat power at an acceptable rate, the RSOI process must be protected from enemy threats. The arriving force is most vulnerable when it is closing on the pod and undergoing reception, staging, and onward movement. It is the responsibility of the GCC to protect the arriving force. The GCC staff must coordinate with the inbound unit to mitigate any risk. Set the Theater describes the broad range of activities conducted to establish the conditions in an operational area for the execution of strategic plans. RSOI, along with theater opening, establishing networks, classifying routes, and other operational activities, sets the conditions for operations in an area of responsibility. Setting the Theater is a continuous shaping activity and is conducted as part of steady state posture and for contingency or crisis response operations. Segments of Reception, Staging, Onward Movement, and Integration. RSOI operations are necessary for commanders to build combat power. The four segments of RSOI are Reception, unloading of personnel and equipment from strategic transport assets, managing port marshaling areas, transporting personnel, equipment, and materiel to staging areas, and providing logistics support services to units transiting the pods. Staging, organizing personnel, equipment, and basic loads into movement units, preparing the units for onward movement, and providing logistics support for units transiting the staging area. Onward movement, moving units from reception facilities and staging areas to the tactical assembly area or other theater destinations, moving non-unit personnel to gaining commands, and moving sustainment supplies to distribution sites. Integration. In force protection, the synchronized transfer of units into an operational commander's force prior to mission execution, JP1, Volume 1. Principles of reception, staging, onward movement, and integration. The following principles guide the planning and execution of RSOI operations. Unity of command. One commander should control and operate the RSOI process, adjusting resources based upon deployment flows, controlling movements in the area of operations, and providing life support to arriving personnel. Synchronization. Synchronization occurs when the right units, equipment, supplies, and capabilities arrive in the correct order at the appropriate locations, and supporting activities are coordinated to operate with one another to ensure the tempo of deployment is uninterrupted. Unit integrity. Moving unit personnel and equipment on the same strategic lift platform provides distinct advantages for units and the force closure process. It leverages the strength of the chain of command, simplifies force tracking, and increases training opportunities. Maintaining unit integrity during strategic lift can simplify the RSOI challenge of incrementally building combat power. Balance. Defining the size of the required support structure is essential to effectiveness. The goal is to avoid burdening strategic lift, infrastructure, and the commander with more support than is necessary, yet deploy enough assets to optimize throughput of units and materiel. Supporting assets must be deployed in a properly timed sequence to leverage their capabilities. Increasing the RSOI capability to clear backlogs in ports and staging areas can reduce force vulnerability. Reception staging, onward movement, integration infrastructure. RSOI operations are the responsibility of the GCC and designated headquarters, generally a Theater Sustainment Command, TSC. The TSC controls the physical facilities and collaborates with the advanced echelon of the arriving headquarters to establish the throughput rate it can handle. The deploying forces are responsible for their own security, organization, and movement through the RSOI process to the extent possible. The process is supported by outside entities such as host nation operators and contractors. The complex RSOI system is usually composed of several elements, each contributing to the process. In-place command and staff organizations, advanced echelon of the deploying units, deploying forces, host nation and multinational support elements, operational contract support, APS. The RSOI infrastructure also includes some of the theater's distribution nodes. Nodes are locations in a distribution system where a movement requirement is originated, processed for onward movement, or terminated. Reception, staging, onward movement, and integration execution. RSOI effectiveness is dependent upon proper UDL and TIPFID development. For example, the combatant commander places port clearance capabilities early in the TIPFID. The combatant commander coordinates the flow of personnel and equipment within the TIPFID so they can be united without delay at ports or staging areas. Decisions on force mix and sequence are critical because adjustments after deployments begin are difficult to implement. Moreover, changes cause ripple effects and may seriously disrupt the flow of forces into the joint operations area. Communication is necessary at all levels and across all modes and nodes. The communication system must link the supported combatant commander, the supporting combatant commands, the deploying units, the RSOI providers, and the tactical commanders who will integrate the deploying force into their structures. The operational environment and MET-TCI may cause certain units to be in high demand or necessary for immediate employment. Critical resources like heavy equipment transporters, fuel support, or buses to move personnel may have to be diverted to rapidly move these units. The TSC will coordinate with the Theater Joint Distribution and Deployment Operations Center to ensure that the GCC's requirements are integrated at all levels according to the current conditions. A secure, assured, compatible, and reliable means of relaying deployment data is essential. Most importantly, the JFC must be able to influence the outcome of the deployment. To do this, the JFC must know what force capabilities are currently available and what will be available in the near future. Optimization. The commander's planning and operational dilemma is balancing the need for early deployment of combat forces against the need to deploy tailored logistical units that maximize throughput of sustainable combat forces. To resolve this dilemma, the commander must be able to see, understand, and balance the flow. The combatant commander defines force requirements in terms of size, location, and time, while the TIPFID defines the force flow needed to meet these requirements. Knowledge of the RSOI infrastructure present in the theater and assets arriving via the TIPFID is critical to understanding the flow. The relationship between throughput volume and RSOI infrastructure is important to commanders trying to optimize force closure capacity. Accelerating the arrival of combat forces in the tactical assembly area requires an increased deployment of RSOI forces. Deploying additional RSOI forces costs space on strategic lift and requires additional positions in the TIPFID. The combatant commander applies the necessary authority and direction to ensure unity of command and establishes communications for a seamless flow of information to manage and influence the force buildup. Achieving the correct balance will maximize the ability to throughput forces and ultimately improve force closure times. The Army operates in diverse environments and conducts a variety of operations as part of joint, multinational, or interagency teams. This fact increases the difficulty of RSOI and reaffirms the need for established procedures, mutually understood relationships, and robust liaison. Army commanders need to understand how best to integrate their forces into the various organizations under which they will operate. Operational contract support is the process of planning for and obtaining supplies, services, and minor construction from commercial sources in support of combatant commander-directed operations or single service activities. In the context of RSOI, operational contract support can be used to obtain foreign or United States civilian personnel or equipment to perform a function such as offloading vessels or transporting supplies. Multinational operations is a collective term to describe military actions conducted by forces of two or more nations, usually undertaken within the structure of the coalition or alliance, JP3-16. Army forces conduct a range of military operations across the competition continuum. Army forces may constitute the majority or a minority of a multinational force. The character of multinational operations merits particular attention. National interests and organizational influence compete with doctrine and efficiency. Gaining consensus is difficult, and solutions are national in character. Commanders should expect contributing nations to adhere to their own national policies and priorities. This complicates the multinational effort. See FM3-16, JP3-33, and JP3-16. Joint integration of planning and execution is key to successful RSOI. This requires trained staffs, pre-established procedures, and ongoing coordination. Even though logistics is a service responsibility, the GCC may direct a particular service to perform certain common user logistics functions based on the dominant user or most capable service concept. For example, the Army may be designated the lead service responsible to provide all common user logistics transportation and movement control for RSOI within the operational area. In this case, the ASCC must be familiar with the total transportation and movement control requirements of the other services to permit optimum resource allocation necessary to address their needs. Multinational. Major differences in logistics doctrine, mobility, resources, interoperability, culture, and language create problems in coordinating the use of highways, rail lines, seaports, inland waterways, and airfields, as well as providing support and services for multinational RSOI operations. Considerable planning is required to integrate multinational forces' requirements for ship berthing and unloading facilities, port staging space, transportation, and labor, which are critical elements of RSOI. While logistics is ordinarily a national responsibility, it frequently falls to the United States to provide strategic lift and logistics support. It is imperative to establish clear responsibilities and identify support roles early in the planning process. Whenever possible, multinational organizations should be formed to coordinate RSOI operations. This should allow multinational members to use common items and to set up commonly understood control measures. Plans and operations for multinational RSOI should be as simple as possible, using common terms and procedures and clear and concise language. Where possible, coalition commanders may combine staffs of two or more nations to better coordinate RSOI capabilities, facilitate exchange of vital information, and reduce friction, congestion, and duplication associated with multiple users of limited assets. Host nation support. Host nation support is civil and/or military assistance rendered by a nation to foreign forces within its territory during peacetime, crises or emergencies, or war based on agreements mutually concluded between nations, JP4O. In many cases, United States forces must rely on host nation support to supplement or provide services, supplies, and facilities. This is especially significant when the GCC tries to minimize the support forces early in the deployment. It is beneficial to establish host nation agreements beforehand when possible. Where no agreements are in place, the GCC staff and RSOI managers should understand the RSOI capabilities or resources of prospective host nations and the contractual procedures necessary to obtain them. It is also important that the host nation understands overall United States requirements. Moreover, as early as possible, representatives with interpreters and translators must be sent to negotiate the acquisition of host nation services. Host nation support, by providing a variety of services and facilities, relieves United States forces from the task of establishing and maintaining equivalent capabilities, thereby reducing the United States' logistical footprint and RSOI overhead. Additional lift becomes available for transport of combat forces, expediting force closure. Services and facilities that might be considered for host nation support are as follows: logistics support, medical facilities, construction and engineering, police and paramilitary organizations, transportation assets and infrastructure, labor force, emergency services, fuel and power facilities, communications facilities. Foreign disclosure. For the host nation to provide informed and effective support, it will be necessary at times to share information with them. When deployment and redeployment information is shared, it is considered Category 6 information in reference to order of battle. It is information that is of direct concern to the recipient foreign government or international organization. The supporting foreign disclosure officer will assist the staff with the planning and execution of these information sharing requirements. Interagency. During joint and multinational operations, the Army operates alongside United States and non-United States government agencies and non-governmental agencies. In most cases, these organizations and agencies will compete for space at ports, airfields, and facilities used for military operations. They will also travel over the same lines of communication and may require a variety of support from the military. To promote unity of effort and assess the impact of these agencies and organizations on the RSOI effort, the JFC can establish a Civil Military Operations Center. In addition, it may be necessary to develop formal agreements between the military and civilian organizations to improve coordination and effectiveness. Liaison. Liaison with forces of each service, nation, and higher and adjacent headquarters is a prerequisite for effective RSOI and timely transfer of critical information. Whenever possible, liaison personnel should be familiar with operational organizations, doctrine, and procedures of the force with which they will work. For multinational operations, they should either speak the language of the force they are with or use qualified interpreters. Liaison elements need to be familiar with the overall RSOI plan. They must understand how their service fits into the plan for building combat power. It is helpful if the liaison members are experienced in joint and multinational operations. Unity of command. RSOI operations will have one commander. The GCC may designate a subordinate commander to execute RSOI, but the subordinate commander reports to the GCC. The commanders of the TSC, Expeditionary Sustainment Command, or a sustainment brigade are potential candidates for the role. All organizations engaged in RSOI, whether units arriving or those operating the arrival nodes, report to the designated commander. There are obvious advantages of designating one organization to provide oversight and direction of RSOI activity. It avoids duplication of effort and competition for critical facilities. It optimizes use of valuable strategic lift and allows integrated reporting of activities related to the buildup of combat forces. Although the specific responsible organization may change from one phase to another or between different contingencies, the principle of unity of command must be maintained. Reception. As the initial step in introducing combat power, reception can determine success or failure of the RSOI operation. Reception from strategic lift is implemented at or near designated air and sea ports of debarkation, normally under control of the GCC. It must be thoroughly planned and carefully executed. While the reception plan for each theater may vary, reception capacity should at least equal planned strategic lift delivery capability. For the initial period of deployment, the aerial port is the lifeline to the front line. All that is not pre-positioned or available from the host nation comes through the aerial terminal. Then, the first surge of sea-lift ships begins to arrive, dramatically increasing forces. Airlift remains a critical element for delivery of personnel, but most unit equipment to build the combat power arrives through seaports. Synchronizing transportation reception activities are critical to facilitating throughput at the ports of debarkation. They include command, staff oversight, movement control, and port operations. Port operations. The RSOI command headquarters must control the deployment flow so that reception capabilities are not overwhelmed. APODs and SPODs should be considered integral parts of a single reception complex unless the distance separating them precludes mutual support. Reception capacity depends on port and airfield infrastructure, condition, and characteristics. Availability of host nation labor and port services. Offloading and holding space. Weather. Enemy situation. Port selection. Seaport and airfield throughput capacities significantly influence the speed, order, and types of units that can deploy through them. Consequently, before thought is given to actual deployment of forces, planners must evaluate available airfield and port facilities within the area of operations, as well as the transportation networks linking them with each other and to the interior. As was the case during Operation Desert Storm, it may be better to use a world-class port hundreds of miles away from tactical assembly areas rather than conduct an in-stream discharge operation or use a smaller degraded port facility with limited capacity and throughput. Diplomatic and military contacts should be made at the earliest possible opportunity with the host nation controlling key facilities and rights of way. The combatant commander, in conjunction with U.S. Transcom, selects the pods that will be used for deployment. Mission variables and the theater transportation infrastructure will drive the sequence, type, size of forces, and materiel arriving at ports of debarkation. These decisions affect the speed of combat power buildup and continued development of the theater. Ports of debarkation may need improvement and repair to accommodate high throughput rates required for rapid force closure. Thus, the early entry of units such as cargo transfer companies, army watercraft, causeway detachments, and engineer assets can be critical to offloading materiel, clearing ports, and consequently, speeding deployment. Aerial port of debarkation. Deployment by air is often constrained by the capabilities of the arrival airport, more often than a shortage of aircraft. Issues such as concurrent civilian use, competition for landing and takeoff slots, ramp space, number of aircraft on the ground at one time, and political restrictions limit its use to military aircraft. Consequently, maximum throughput at limited airports is paramount. The APOD is a joint facility, and likely a multinational facility. It is a pod for deploying forces, and a PO for forces moving to other theaters and non-combatant evacuation. The host nation may limit the APOD to coalition military use, or the military may be sharing the facility with commercial activities. Governmental, non-governmental, and private organizations will likely be competing for use of the APOD along with military forces. The APOD serves as the primary port of entry for all deploying personnel, as well as for early entry forces normally airlifted into theater together with their equipment. U.S. Transcom through AMC is the DoD-designated Single Port Manager, SPM, for all common user APODs worldwide. The SPM performs those functions necessary to support the strategic flow of forces and sustainment supplies through the APOD. The SPM provides deployment status information to the supported GCC and clears the airfield in accordance with the GCC's priorities. Responsibility for APOD functions is divided between the United States Air Force and the Army, with the United States Air Force responsible for airfield operations, including air terminal control, loading, unloading, and servicing of aircraft. The Army is responsible for clearing personnel and cargo off the tarmac and for required logistic support for transiting units. United States Air Force and Army interface occurs between the United States Air Force Contingency Response Group, or CRE, the Army ADAG, and Army MCTs. Necessary communication, personnel, and cargo handling equipment must be in place to facilitate rapid movement out of the airport. Both the CRE and the ADAG must be included in the lead elements of the deploying force. The CRE controls all activities at the offload ramp area and supervises aircraft offloading. The ADAG escorts loads and personnel to holding areas, thus clearing the airfield, and ensures airfield operations and strategic airflow are not obstructed and limited due to the accumulation of cargo. With responsibility divided between the United States Air Force and the Army, and sometimes multinational forces, multiple chains of command exist within the aerial terminal, which may result in a variety of unforeseen challenges. Given this potential command relationship, potential for conflicting priorities necessitates careful planning and coordination during the reception process. For example, something straightforward as security responsibilities becomes complicated when there are two chains of commands at the same site. Special attention must be paid to ensure that airfield security, a United States Air Force responsibility, and area security, an Army responsibility, are well coordinated among themselves, as well as with multinational forces and the host nation. Seaport of debarkation. Activities at seaports are normally joint multinational and intermixed with commercial operations. Seaports can serve as ports of debarkation for arriving forces and simultaneously as ports of embarkation for forces deploying to other theaters of operations. U.S. Transcom, through SDDC, is the DoD-designated SPM for all common user ports worldwide. The SPM, normally a transportation surface brigade, performs those functions necessary to support the strategic flow of the deploying forces equipment and sustainment supplies through the SPOD. The SPM is responsible for providing strategic deployment status information to the GCC and to set the workload for the SPOD port operator based on the GCC's priorities and guidance. Theater planners must consider several factors when assessing the port's capacity to receive the planned strategic flow. Some of the factors include state of repair, commercial utilization, the port's capability, congestion, and throughput capacity. Throughput capability is based on the port's ability to receive, process, and clear personnel and equipment. The cargo reception function is based on the number and size of the berths, MHE, and water depth. The cargo process function is based on staging area and the time it takes to match units with their respective equipment. The cargo clearing function is based on truck and rail outloading facilities, gate capacity, and links to the theater transportation networks. Seaport operations are similar to airport operations. Once the vessels are offloaded, unit equipment is moved to temporary holding areas within the port to be configured into convoys, rail loads, or watercraft loads. Unit equipment clearing the port moves to an intermediate staging base, ISB, an inland water terminal, or directly to the tactical assembly area. The volume of cargo arriving in the theater in a small window of time can drive the need for multiple seaports to meet deployment timelines. The physical size of roll-on, roll-off ships, and the depth of water required to bring vessels of this class alongside a pier may also present a challenge. If world-class port facilities are available, offloading can be rapidly accomplished. If facilities are less than world-class, then multiple ports and slower in-stream operations may be required. The ability to receive forces in an operational area despite degraded or austere ports is essential to the Army's force projection strategy. Army watercraft is the primary enabler in this process. They allow ships that cannot get to a pier to be offloaded in stream. Additional watercraft then moves the cargo to smaller coastal ports or directly over the shore. In-stream discharge operations are sensitive to weather and seas conditions and generally require a protected. Staging. Staging is that part of the RSOI operation that reassembles and reunites unit personnel with their equipment and schedules unit movement to the tactical assembly area, secures or uploads unit basic loads, and provides life support to personnel. These activities occur at multiple sites in controlled areas called ISBs, that are required because space limitations normally preclude reassembly of combat units at ports of debarkation. In general, there will be at least one ISB for each S-pod and A-pod pairing. Intermediate Staging Base. An ISB is a secure staging base established near, but not in the area of operations. ISBs are temporary staging areas en route to an operation and may be used to sustain forces in the area of operations. ISB tasks and capabilities are contingent on the operational situation and are located where they can best support the force. No two ISBs will be alike. Some will be in operation for a few days, while others will operate for an extended period. Although we refer to an ISB as if it were a single unit, it is a collection of brigade combat teams, BCTs, sustainment, signal, military police, engineer, and support units brought together for a specific purpose. ISBs are set up early to receive deploying forces and to operate the nodes inherent in the theater distribution plan. The availability of appropriate RC units early in the flow is a risk in the ISB organization and may require host nation or operational contract support. Intermediate Staging Base Functions. Functions occurring at an ISB may vary widely depending on the specifics of the operation. The following are some critical functions that should be considered for every ISB. Communications. Reliable, secure, and compatible communications are essential to operations in the theater staging base. The GCC must know when forces are combat capable and prepared for onward movement to control and employ these forces at the decisive point and time. Force tracking provides situational awareness of combat-ready units within the operational area. While ITV begins at the home station, force tracking begins in the staging area, where equipment and personnel are reassembled into combat-ready units. Staging operations must have the communications, data processing equipment, and personnel assets to provide and manage force tracking data. Efficient movement control can provide force tracking information, but it must be able to communicate directly with operational commanders. ITV acts as a staging enabler by providing commanders with clear pictures of locations of units and materiel in RSOI and deployment. For the ISB commander, ITV provides an awareness of the scheduled arrival of personnel and equipment so that the resources required to support them, as well as time required to assemble the unit in a mission-ready configuration, are available. At present, there are several joint systems in various stages of development that provide visibility of force deployment and sustainment. Unfortunately, present systems do not completely satisfy the requirements of force tracking, and much of the process must be accomplished manually. Life support. Regardless of time spent in the ISB, troops staging through it will require support, including housing, sustenance, sanitation, and healthcare. RSOI planners must ensure the force provider units are sequenced early in the TPFID to be in place and functioning by the time the first units arrive. Even if this requires displacement of some combat capability, it pays dividends later in the operation in the form of higher throughput, faster buildup of combat power, and earlier force closure. The Army Force Provider Unit is designed to provide base camp support to 550 people. The United States Air Force's Prime Beef and Red Horse units and Navy Seabees are also viable options for providing support to transient forces. Arming, fueling, and fixing. Equipment arriving at the ISB may require maintenance before it becomes combat ready. This includes calibration of equipment, bore sighting of weapons, replacement of parts damaged in transit, painting, and refueling. The ISB should provide adequate facilities to support these activities, including marshalling areas, maintenance shelters, fuel and ammunition storage, a test driving loop, and range areas. Preparation of units for onward movement. In addition to preparing equipment, units at the ISB undergo training and reorganization. Communications networks are established, vehicle loads are reconfigured, and RFID tags are updated so that senior commanders can use tracking systems to monitor the buildup of combat power. Commanders must participate in planning the onward movement, including route planning, unit tracking, and movement control. Security. ISBs are high-value targets. Their destruction or damage results in serious delays in force closure and disruption of the GCC's concept of operations. Maintaining the flow of forces through the ISB can be the best means of reducing their vulnerability to attack. Force closure. The time that units spend in the ISB must be minimized to meet the force closure requirements. Staging should not be a lengthy process, but inefficiencies can cause delays. For example, personnel arriving before their equipment, equipment arriving before its personnel, frustrated cargo, and gaps in matching troops with proper equipment. Frustrated cargo is any shipment of supplies and/or equipment which, while en route to destination, is stopped prior to receipt and for which further disposition instructions must be obtained. In fact, a battalion-sized unit should strive to spend no more than 2 days in the ISB. ISBs should be in areas convenient to both the S-Pod and A-Pod, with good lines of communication back to ports of debarkation and forward to designated tactical assembly areas. In addition, the ISB should have sufficient space to accommodate the largest force scheduled to stage through it, together with facilities for vehicle marshalling, materiel handling, equipment maintenance and calibration, and possibly bore sighting and test firing of weapons. All of these are needed if the ISB is to fulfill its function of converting personnel and equipment into mission-ready combat units. Other factors affecting selection of an ISB include geography, terrain, and availability of organic and host nation assets. These factors, together with the size of the deploying force, may often necessitate multiple ISBs. The requirement for multiple staging bases is most evident in the urban sprawl of Europe and Korea, particularly around seaport facilities. In many cases, it is tremendously difficult to find even 1 square mile of open terrain, much less the total space requirement for an ISB. Under normal circumstances, troops deploy by air, while equipment deploys by sea and/or rail. The speed differential between air and sea surface transportation is the fundamental cause of complexity and potential difficulties in the staging process. Troops and equipment must be sequenced in the TIPFID so that both arrive nearly simultaneously, expeditiously unite, and ready themselves for onward movement. Troops arriving too early must be provided with meals and quarters while waiting for their equipment to arrive. The TSC, or one of its sustainment brigades, would be expected to accommodate these needs. The mass of immobile, unprotected troops presents an inviting and vulnerable target. On the other hand, if equipment arrives much earlier than the troops, ports of debarkation can become congested and space management becomes critical. Early deployment of essential support units at the expense of combat units pays off later by speeding the flow of the entire force, enhancing the GCC's ability to build combat power and increase operational flexibility. Conversely, front-loading the TIPFID with combat forces may jeopardize the GCC's ability to build up forces as rapidly as required and reduce flexibility. Onward movement. Personnel and equipment reassembled as combat-ready units must be moved to the tactical assembly area based on the GCC's priorities. Onward movement is a joint and multinational effort using capabilities and organizational structures of other services, allies, the host nation, and other governmental entities. It is an iterative activity in which units advance from one line of communications node to another. Onward movement occurs when units move from ports to theater staging bases or forward to the tactical assembly area. Three primary factors affecting onward movement are movement control, transportation infrastructure, and security. Movement control. Movement control provides commanders a mechanism to synchronize movements for deployment, redeployment, and distribution operations, and provides them with situational understanding to effectively influence the movement in their area of responsibility. The movement control process assures the availability of military, host nation, and commercial common user transportation assets to support the onward movement of forces. Additionally, movement control ensures that the various lines of communication are deconflicted between the movement of joint and coalition forces and from civilian traffic to include displaced civilians on main supply routes. For more information on movement control, see ATP 4-16. Transportation infrastructure. The transportation infrastructure routes control factors, host nation support, and specialized handling requirements must be coordinated to maximize speed of movement. Capabilities of the transportation network must be balanced against movement requirements so that modes and routes are neither saturated nor underused. The other services and allied forces will compete for the same networks as the Army, and congestion will result if proper coordination is not accomplished. Planners should anticipate simultaneous demands on limited infrastructure, difficulties with communications, and differences in transportation capabilities. During onward movement, mode selection determines whether the commander of the unit in transit maintains control during the move or whether control of the move is exercised by elements of the TSC. Ideally, tracked vehicles should be moved by rail or heavy equipment transporters, and wheeled vehicles should move in a convoy. Inland and coastal waterways should be used when available if they afford useful solutions. Establishment of convoy support centers and trailer transfer points along main supply routes and other support centers at temporary airfields, rail sites, and waterway drop-off points further aids onward movement. These allow units and line haul drivers to rest, eat, perform vehicle maintenance, and contact unit movement control personnel to receive operational updates, revised priorities, and when necessary, diversions. Security. The onward movement phase can allow the enemy to inflict serious losses and delay the buildup of combat power by exploiting vulnerability of units in transit from the ISB to the tactical assembly area. Security consists of those actions taken by the unit to protect it against all acts designed to destroy or impair its effectiveness. Enemy interdiction of onward movement presents special challenges that can be partially overcome by using alternative routing and mode substitution when feasible. But all units must be prepared to defend themselves. Organized and tightly controlled convoys afford a higher degree of security. Moreover, hardened gun trucks may escort the convoys, and additional armed personnel ride in the vehicles to immediately engage threats as required. Security is an important component of warfighting. Security is the responsibility of the moving force itself and forces of the GCC. Care must be taken to avoid or neutralize explosive hazards and direct or indirect fires. Integration. During integration, units are transferred to the operational commander and merged into the tactical plan. The transfer may require interaction and familiarization among units. Consequently, requirements for integration planning and coordination must occur early in the force projection process and be modified according to the operational environment and MET TCI until force closure is achieved. The time required for integration may vary, depending upon the size of the total force, contingency conditions, inclusion of joint, multinational, or interagency partners, and amount of pre-deployment and ongoing planning and coordination. Rapid integration is critical to the success of combat operations, and adequate planning and coordination can reduce integration time. Thorough integration must be completed before a unit is operational and can perform its mission. Integration is complete when the GCC establishes positive command over the arriving unit, usually in the tactical assembly area, and the unit can perform its assigned mission. Control measures, such as liaison officers or MCTs, can reduce confusion between integrating units, RSOI forces, and receiving headquarters. These measures act as guardians of the commander's intent and focus effort on force integration. These measures should be established immediately as part of the planning process and be maintained throughout the RSOI process.